We have just a few minutes, and I want to draw your attention to a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tonight. Last week, we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, dealing with whatsoever ye eat, or whatsoever ye drink, or whatsoever ye do, what are we to do? Do all to the glory of God. And we dealt with this subject of ignoring a very serious peril, ignoring red flags, and one of the things that's become very prominent today in religious circles is this idea is that we have church over here and we have the rest of our life over here, compartmentalization of our lives. And that, of course, is false. That is not true. As a matter of fact, several theologians have traced this whole idea back to the Greeks. Plato was the one that put forth the idea that the spiritual was good and all physical was bad. The compartmentalizing of life, and it's kind of morphed over the years and has become a major way of thinking, but it's not biblical. And we have to constantly, as Christians, be on our toes, amen? We can't just live life and just kind of coast along, because if you coast, you're drifting. And when you're drifting, you're not anchored. And when you're not anchored, you're in trouble. And we need to always stay on our toes. There's two verses of scriptures that I want to share with you, with a couple of thoughts here. Verse 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians 6. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, referring to both body and spirit. How many think that's pretty clear? Yeah. You have to go against the Bible to come up with an idea. Well, you've got, you know, church over here, and you've got your spiritual things over here, and then you have rest of life, and the two don't really have to mix. That is almost heresy. Because the Bible says that you, as a Christian, do not belong to yourself. That's a hard thing for people to really grasp a hold of. Let me read to you Philip's translation of these verses. Have you forgotten that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, and that you are not the owner of your own body? You have been bought, and at what price? Therefore, bring glory to God both in your body and in your spirit, for they both belong to Him. There's a difference between ownership and stewardship. Who owns everything? I remember singing from a child, and we still sing it here at church. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He's the owner of all things. I am a steward. I'm a steward of my own body. That's what these two verses are saying. God owns, I have stewardship. God wants me to operate according to the principles that He's laid down in His Word. What was the problem at Corinth? Dr. Watt's been preaching on this in his series on Corinthians. What was their problem? Their problem was is that the Bible was not the guide for their life. What was the guide for their life? Their opinions. They were taking, this chapter 6 picks up with them taking each other to court, all right? Suing each other in the church. And Paul tells them, what are you doing? What are you doing? Aren't you believers in Christ? Can't you work these things out among yourselves? But they couldn't. They were just running to the courts. They were what? Separating the spiritual from the what? The secular. Hey, I'm going to sue you. You offended me, this, that, or the other. I'm bringing a lawsuit. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says that our bodies and our spirits belong to God. Therefore, I'm simply a steward of what God owns. And my point tonight is this: what kind of a steward are we when we segregate in our mind church over here. Okay, we're holy on Sunday. And then the rest of the week, we just do whatever we want to do. Is that realizing who the owner of your body is and the whole owner of your spirit? Obviously not, because he's not being consulted. My stewardship has become selfish. I begin to act like the owner, and I am not the owner. Can you imagine, and I'll close with this illustration. You know how it was when you had your first car? I remember I got my first car, buddy, and I was going to take care of that car. I didn't have a muffler on it when I bought it. I bought it up in Bruton, and I drove it all the way back to Milton without a muffler. I couldn't hear myself think. But I thought, man, this is cool. I got home, and Mom and Dad said, that's not cool. You're putting a muffler on there. So I went and got a muffler, and I put it on there, and it quieted the car down. And I was a car owner, but I found out different. I found out that the car owned me. I spent all my time. I remember I packed the car up to go to Bob Jones University. I'd driven it from high school, senior year, through my first 2 years of college here, and then I was headed to Bob Jones. And my brother and I got in the car. Roger went up there with me. And we got up, and just north of Atlanta, something happened. We couldn't go over 40 miles an hour. Now, that's basically saying we're dead in Atlanta traffic. We got as far away from people and cars and whatever, and we putt-putted. The car just jolted and jerked all the way to Greenville, South Carolina. And Roger was driving, and I was over there like this. I couldn't believe it. And I said, this is going to cost me big time. And it did. Roger says, hey, there's a guy here at the SAS. Actually, you weren't there at the time. I know somebody that does great with motors. So he diagnosed it. I had blown a head, all right, head gasket on my car. So I said, all right, can you fix it? Oh, yeah, I can fix it. $250. You pay for the grinding and all the parts, and I'll charge you $250. I got it back. I couldn't get it over 40 miles an hour. I putt-putted all the way back home. I had the same problem. I got it back and I took it to a mechanic. I don't know what's wrong. I just got the head redone, put a new gasket on there. And he said, I don't know who did this work, but they don't know what they're doing. So I made a little mental note after I coughed up another $300 to get it done right. I said, when I get back to Bob Jones, I'm going to hunt that guy down and he's going to pay me back my $250. I got back. Guess who didn't come back to school? Super mechanic. Didn't come back. You talk about a life lesson learned. I found out that I did not really own my car. My car owned me. I was constantly working on it. There was an air conditioner in my car, but it just sat there. The compressor didn't even have a belt on it. Now, when I bought it, I didn't pay attention to that part. And I said, you know, I'll put a belt on there. We'll be ready to go. Put a belt on it, snap, because it was frozen. Okay? I was too cheap to replace the compressor. I drove it for 7 years without air conditioning. I had the four windows rolled down, driving 50 miles an hour when I could get up to that speed. And it was a life lesson. That car owned me. Same thing when I bought a boat. Oh, man, I thought, boat ownership, it owned me. Took my mom and dad out for the first time. Mom, Dad, I'm going to take you out on the river. Couldn't start it. I sat out there. I'm sorry, Mom and Dad. They had to go back to the house. You know what it was? A spider built a web in the vent hose of the gas tank. The guy down there was just laughing hee-haw, and he said, you wouldn't believe what was in it. There was a massive spider and web in that hose. And that was the whole problem. If I'd have known that, I could have blown it out myself. But I wrote a check. Outdoors Unlimited. Here you go, outboard. There you go, there's my money. The glorious day came in 1995. We had to pay for Gregory's birth. And I paid for it with the selling of my boat. I got rid of that thing, and I was no longer owned by a boat. The point is this, You're owned by someone. And if you're owned by Jesus Christ and you're owned by God, you can't fiddle around with their ownership. Amen? You fiddle around with that, you're going to be in deep trouble. God owns you. He owns your body, and He owns what else, according to what Paul says here? Our spirit! They're one! Owned by God. Therefore, with that in my mind, I don't act like the owner. I'm simply a steward of the body and the spirit that is owned by God. Therefore, my choices must go through the owner. Ooh. Well, God doesn't expect us to ask Him about all those things. Ooh, wrong answer. You mean God expects us to ask Him about what I put in my body? Yep. There are people pouring alcohol down their throats tonight, down at the local bars. It's amazing when you drive down through town and you go by the bars, there's people down there just pouring the alcohol down their bodies. I want to tell you something. God has something to say about what you put in your body. Because, Christian, you don't own your body and you don't own your spirit. They're owned by God. And preachers aren't preaching that anymore, and people aren't reading their Bibles to find out what God says, and as a result, they're living in error and they don't even realize it. May God help us to get back to the Word of God. This is a red flag. It's a huge red flag that's being waved. We're just ignoring it, just doing our own thing, making our decisions, making our choices, doing what we want to do. God doesn't expect us to ask Him about everything. Where did you come up with that? He owns your body, and He owns your spirit. That means we consult with the owner. We consult with the owner. Let's pray. Father, bless us now as we go our ways. Watch over us, dear Lord. We live in very troubling times. We live in confusing times, mainly because of the fact that we haven't anchored our soul to the precious Word of God. And we've got all kinds of opinions and ideas that we follow that are not biblical. Lord, help us to realize that we don't own our bodies. We don't own our spirits. The moment that we trusted in Jesus Christ, You, our Father, took ownership. And therefore, whenever I make decisions and choices, I have to consult with You, the owner, rather than acting as if I'm the owner. I'm just a steward of what You have taken over. I pray that You would embed this thinking in our hearts so that we might live biblically, not just talking about it, but actually living it. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.